As always, it's a pleasure to be with you folks today. That's kind of weird because I was just here 2 weeks ago and I'll probably be here in another 2 weeks. So yeah, we've got a quick meeting like this. I was pleased to be able to spell off Jeff Taylor as he had other commitments today. My mother always taught me, be nice. Be nice to strangers. So for years, that's what I've done with you folks. I was nice to you. The time for being nice is over. It's time to be family. I mean, we've been born of water and the Spirit. The time for being nice is over. But the reason I say that without a smile on my face is because it's harder. Nice is easy. Family is messy. Family is loving and sacrificing. Family is trying to compromise without being compromised. Family is having compassion and forgiveness. Family is not being able to say, I'm done with you because you're my brother or you're my sister. Instead, I have to say, oh, we've got to deal with each other. We've got to live with each other. I've got to live with you and all your stuff. What's up with all the stuff? And you've got to live with me and all my stuff. Wouldn't it be easier just to be nice? Sure it would. But that's not what Jesus called us to be. Jesus didn't say, oh Lord, may all those who believe in me through your message be nice to each other. May they tolerate each other. May they try and stay out of each other's way. No, he said, in essence, may they get in each other's lives, Father, even as I am one with you in a way that the world can't even begin to imagine. May they be one. Those are not my words, but I wish they were, because they resonated with me when they crossed my Facebook feed yesterday. They're the words of a relatively well-known preacher named Jeff Walling. And part of the reason they resonated with me is because my mind had already been churning over some thoughts that had come to my realization earlier in the week. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, feel free. That's what I'm going to be talking about first. And in the text that I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 6, it all hinges around the word you. Now, the word you in English is kind of a pesky word because we can only tell from context whether it's singular or plural. If I say, you need to leave the building now, you don't know if I'm talking to Mark or Bill because they've offended me, or if I'm talking to everybody because the building's on fire. Only by context can you figure it out, and sometimes context even makes it difficult. Okay, having said that, let me read the passage and then I'll tell you what came to my attention. 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 9. Have a look at the word you every time we come across it. Think about, is that a singular or is that a plural? Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined with a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, if you were looking at those yous as I read that passage, you'll notice that most of them are plural. However, when he gets to the section where he's talking about sexual immorality, that's obviously a singular thing, at least we hope so, rather than a plural. So as he finishes up that topic in verse 19, we might think we know what you he's using. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your own body. I've always read that as an instruction to the individual Christian, recognizing that each of us has a body that is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, understand, I'm not saying that's not true. I believe it's absolutely true. We received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism. That makes us a temple. God lives within us. But I believe that this isn't the passage that teaches that. Because I found out in some reading this week that the plural and singular are not exactly what I thought. Verse 19, he says, do you, plural, do all of you not know that your, plural, body, singular, is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He doesn't say, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? He is saying, your body, singular, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, all plural. You were bought with a price, plural. So glorify God in your, plural, body, singular. I wish we had a Texan translation where we had y'all for the plural. It would make it so much more obvious. The word body is singular. Not glorify God in y'all's body. Not glorify God in y'all's body. I said that wrong. Not glorify God in your singular body as individuals. Not glorify God in y'all's bodies, but glorify God in y'all's body, singular. So what? Why am I belaboring this point to death? Here's why. We are the body of Christ. All of us together. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All of us together. Severally, yes. Each one of us individually is a temple of the Holy Spirit, as I've already said. But corporately, all of us together are the body of Christ. There are plenty of passages that instruct us as individuals to live holy lives that glorify God. And we need to take them to heart. For example, Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, plural, each one of us, present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, who is your spiritual worship. But when in this passage he says to all of us to glorify God in our body, he's telling us to glorify God in the church, to bring glory to God as a unified body, united by our common love for God, united by our common need for a Savior. We don't meet together each Sunday as a group of strangers who happen to join up to the same club. So we gather together for an hour, we be nice to each other, and we leave. We're here each week for a family reunion. Think about your own family. You want your kids to get along, right? We sure hope that they function as a family in more than a forced politeness because they have to be in the same room at the same time for an hour. We want that love to be there because we're their parents and we love them. And we want them to love each other. Multiply that by infinity, and maybe we begin to get a glimpse of what God wants for his church, of what God wants us to see in our body. Maybe that's why there are so many one another passages in the Bible. I'm going to read them out to you. There's a whole bunch. I'm going to read them out to you in rapid-fire succession. A whole bunch of one another passages. Pay attention to what these are saying and see what it says to each of us about our body. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Romans 14:13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Hebrews 10:24, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. 10:25, encouraging one another. Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving one another. 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. 1 Peter 3:8, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter 4:8 and 9, love each other deeply, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And then a number of passages that Andrew read for us just a few minutes ago. all from 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 3:23, this is his command to love one another as he commanded us. 4:7, let us love one another, for love comes from God. 4:11, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And finally, 2 John verse 5, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. Encouragement, 5 times. Humility, 6 times. Love, 13 times. And then other items in there as well, like service. That's what God wants for the body. That's what we should be seeing in our body, singular. Everything that we do affects the body. As Mark was reading the passage from 1 Corinthians about the Lord's table, I thought, there's another one. When the issue that Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians 11 was the fact that at the Lord's table, which was part of a larger meal, people weren't waiting for each other. People would go ahead and others would come in and there wasn't anything left. They weren't waiting for each other. And when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. For decades, I thought recognizing the body of the Lord meant when I take that little piece of bread, I have to see the broken body of my Savior in that. And again, I still think that's true. But I believe there's a whole lot more that Paul was trying to say to the church in Corinth and to you and me, then see Jesus' body in that piece of bread. He's also saying, see Jesus' body in that piece of bread. Because that's what the Corinthians were not doing. They weren't thinking about anyone but themselves. And they would go ahead and take as much as they wanted and not care about if anyone had anything. Everything that we do reflects on the body. When we gather around the table, it is a very communal experience. That might be why they call it communion. Because we have communion not only with God, but with each other, because we are all part of this body. We are all gathered at the foot of the cross as sinners in need of a Savior. One of those verses that I read, I want to talk about in a little more detail. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves, so that you have sincere love for each other, love each other deeply from the heart. Most of the words love in the New Testament come from the word agape. This is one of the few verses that references one of the other words for love. The word and I'm not a Greek person, but I refer to these words as agape and Philadelphia, okay? Philadelphia is literally means brotherly love. Phileo is the actual word for love, and adelphos is the Greek word for brother. So Philadelphia means brotherly love, and so the city of Philadelphia actually means the city of brotherly love. But I get off topic here. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, now that you've purified yourselves so that you have sincere love, Philadelphia, you have the brotherly love because you have purified yourselves and you have become part of the body. Now that all of that has happened and you have the brotherly love, love one another deeply, and that's the agape love. That's the God love. That's the love that puts another person first, that puts their feelings and their needs ahead of our own. That's the self-sacrificing love. Now that you have purified yourselves so that you have sincere brotherly love, have a God kind of love for each other from the heart. We may be temples of the Holy Spirit individually, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit collectively. We should be critically aware of this because of the far-reaching effects that our actions will have. Everything we do is a reflection of the Holy Spirit's temple, that temple in which we are called to glorify God. We are all part of that temple. We are called to be the body of Christ, to each other, and to a lost and dying world. We are to be the kind of family that others would want to join. Acts 5:13 says that the people were highly regarded by outsiders. We are to try to serve each other, to be hospitable to each other. Try inviting someone over soon. Someone that you don't know that well. That's family. We are called to be accepting, kind, and forgiving. We are called to encourage each other. We are to be humble with each other. And above all, we are to love each other. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." All men will know if this body of Christ loves each other. Let us be the kind of family that is there for each other, that cares deeply about each other, a family that shows up for each other, that honors each other. Because in growing this kind of genuine family closeness, we will be in a much better position to glorify God in your body, the body of Christ. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, we are instructed to glorify God in our body. Paul says it this way at the end of Ephesians 3. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."